I lost my light here. At least I haven't lost my light here. Amen about that. So our second scripture reading comes from the prophet Isaiah. You'll recognize this one. Chapter 53, the suffering servant. And I chose this passage because as we heard Jim's beautiful rendition of the Old Rugged Cross, I was trying to find a way to tie in that beautiful message throughout the service here. So today we're going to be reading from the book of Isaiah, taking a break from our walk through Luke. Starting in verse 1. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offering and proclaim his days. He will prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So as we look at today's passage and we meditate on the wonderful music that has been sung today, we see Jesus Christ, the one who came as a servant into the world, as a sin offering, who laid down his life for our transgressions, for our sins. It's an appropriate message for this time of Lent, as we are coming upon Palm Sunday, Holy Week, and alas, Easter. We tend to want to jump right to Easter, don't we? We want to sing praises and be joyful at the resurrection, joyful that God is not dead, joyful that we are his children. We don't want to stop and look at why that had to happen. We want to skip over the stuff that doesn't make us feel good. But we must look at the transgressions, at the sins. We must see Jesus as the suffering servant. As we look through Isaiah 53, it's interesting how there are several different shifts throughout this chapter as the author goes from the first part where mankind is despising and rejecting Christ. And as you read through the chapter, there are a couple places where the author uses the word yet. He has a point in the first part of him being having no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Now, when we think about that, we must see it from a lens of mankind, because in his glory and from God, there is all majesty, all glory within Christ. But from the lens of mankind, he was a lowly carpenter's son from a small little town in Nazareth, born into what we would call poverty, being born into a manger, having no earthly wealth, having no earthly status. But as we read through the chapter, there are a couple places where the author says, yet, and it shifts our focus to the next point that he's making. It says, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. So you can see the shift in thought from he was despised, yet he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us was on him. That brought us peace was on him. We have peace because he was crushed. We have peace because he was oppressed and afflicted. Yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to slaughter. And as a sheep before its shears is silent, he did not open his mouth. So he was punished for the transgressions of the world. Yet, in verse 10, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. He was crushed and afflicted, yet it was the Lord's will that this be done. Why is that? After he suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, whenever you hear the word therefore, you always have to take everything said before in that section as the foundation of what's coming next. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. See, there are two parts to the story as we come to this time of Easter, in this time of the beautiful resurrection story of Christ. It is an amazing love story from Genesis to Revelation of how God loved us enough to die for us. How God loved us enough, even though we were his enemies, even though we had sinned against him, even though we had taken his laws and cast them aside, even though his people, his bride Israel, turned to other gods, God said, I love you enough to give you my son. Jesus loved us enough to be obedient to the Father, to silently walk to the cross to pay for our sins. As we were listening to the old rugged cross, and I was reading through the words, there was a part in the song where the music went down, down, down into this low, almost you couldn't imagine death, the low notes, and the tomb was closed. You kind of feel that on your heart. But then the story continues on to where we hear the joyful, triumphant resurrection of Christ, so that even though he died and took away all our sins, he did not stay in the grave. We rejoice in the resurrection of Christ, that our chains are gone, our sins are covered, we are redeemed, we are reconciled to God the Father. And this is the love of Christ, that even though we were his enemies, he said, I'm not going to leave you there. That he willingly walked to the old rugged cross. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood, so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. To pardon and sanctify me. To pardon and sanctify you. To pardon and sanctify his children who have gone astray. Do you understand those words? Do you feel them in your heart? Do you know what it means to be pardoned fully of your sins? Do you know what it means to be sanctified for God? As we come before the throne at the day of judgment, we can have a huge binder full of our sins laid before God, and Jesus says, I'll take that. Tosses it as far as east is from the west. To be sanctified by God. For God to sanctify something, he takes it. He makes it holy. He cleanses it. And it says, I'm going to take you and use you for a holy purpose, for my mission to go get others and bring them here. But we don't do that through our own power. It is the Holy Spirit within us that sends us out. So God is always drawing His people to Him, His children to Him, to sanctify them, to set them apart for a holy purpose. You have been sanctified. There's a lot of times we hear the process of sanctification. And yes, we do grow in maturity. But when you have been justified by the blood of Christ, you are set aside for a holy purpose. You have been sanctified. The wondrous beauty of God's loving grace is that He gave it freely. He loved us enough to say, you don't need to toil and work and try to climb and scratch your way up to heaven. No, He came down to us. Freely pardoned, freely sanctified, one day glorified as co-heirs with Jesus. That is the gospel message. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus was raised from the dead, pardoned our sins, and made us a new creation. Let us glorify God in everything we do. Go out and preach His love, His grace to the world. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You so much for the old rugged cross that Jesus Christ willingly died upon to save us from our sins, to pardon us, to sanctify us, to reconcile us to You, Father God, because our sin was too great that we could not overcome. Lord, thank You for loving us enough, and no matter what happened, what Your people did, You said, I love My children enough that I will go save them. Father God, empower us with the Holy Spirit to boldly proclaim Your message. Empower us with the Holy Spirit to love others as You love others. Empower us to love the world as You have loved the world. Give us Your eyes to see those who are in need of You, Lord. Give us Your hands and feet that we may serve them. It's in Jesus' holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.